Welcome to another episode of Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry. I'm your host, Amelia Dalton from eejournal.com, and let's get this party started. Just after I try to program the map app in my iPhone to navigate to the break room. For some reason, it keeps telling me to drive across the Pacific to Australia. Weird. Well, where will this episode of Fish Fry take us? First, we're going to take a quick stroll by the most recent Raspberry Pi news. Then it's on over to some magic finger technology being developed by the universities of Toronto and Alberta. And then we'll drive on over to EDA land. Without the use of said iPhone map app, or we may never get there. With Carbon Design Systems CTO Bill Neifert. Bill's going to chat with me about Carbon's recent collaboration with Samsung. And then finally, we're going to stop on by Nerdy Giveawayville. Oh yeah. I have a brand new nerdy giveaway to throw your way this week. But you'll have to listen to find out what it is and how to win. Let's get started, shall we? Have you heard a new Raspberry Pi board is coming out? Well, it is. And folks, this one is bigger and badder than ever before. Okay, wait. Not bigger in a physical sense, it's still the same size. Anyway, it was announced this week that Element 14 is rolling out a new 512 megabyte version of this super-duper credit card-sized computer. Element 14 says they have a global stock of the Raspberry Pi 512 megabyte boards available on a first-come, first-serve basis, which means get it now, or dread a couple-month waiting list that's bound to happen. Now, you may say, Amelia, what's the big deal with this new version of the Raspberry Pi? A couple things, I think. First, the extra memory is going to enable higher-performance applications and services, where there is a great opportunity to take your Raspberry Pi design to the next level. Like adding a touchscreen, for instance? Also, this extra memory will mean that both the CPU and the GPU will now have sufficient RAM to function optimally. In the older version of the Raspberry Pi, some designers found that they had to change the memory allocation to the CPU and GPU. It seems that there was a memory battle brewing between using the multimedia and still having enough RAM to run the other processes powered by the CPU. This newest Raspberry Pi will have the same low price of $35 and includes two USB ports, 512 megabytes of RAM, an HDMI port, SD memory card slot, and an Ethernet port. On top of the newest memory enhancements, I personally love that the Raspberry Pi Foundation keeps finding a way to improve these boards without adding to the price. And for any of my fish frying fans out there, if you have a Raspberry Pi board and you want to disclose the cool stuff you've been doing with it, shoot me a line. Let's chat. What if everything you touched became a touchpad? Can you imagine it? Kind of like a touchpad Midas touch, but without the touchpad. Wait. Anyway. Well, researchers at the Universities of Toronto and Alberta are making a breakthrough in touch-sensing technology. They have created a prototype of a product they are calling Magic Finger. This Magic Finger is a touch sensor that works using an optical mouse sensor attached to your finger. It actually senses texture through a micro RGB camera that can sense 32 different textures with what they claim is an accuracy of 98.9%. Now, this wouldn't be fish fry if we didn't get into the guts of the thing, right? The Magic Finger has two optical sensors, a lower resolution, high-speed sensor for tracking the movement of the finger, and a higher resolution camera for capturing the detail of the surface. And in terms of the sensors, first there is an optical flow sensor. The team used an ADNS2620 optical flow sensor, which is most often used in optical mice, and has been known to be reliable on a wide variety of different surfaces. The sensor detects motion by examining the optical flow of the surface it's moving on. In the first run of tests, the team found that this sensor could only recognize a small number of items. So they embedded a Nanye micro RGB camera on the edge of the optical flow sensor. You see, this Nanye has a higher resolution and smaller pixels, and thus captures the more subtle details of the textures. And if you can imagine this, this micro camera is only about 1 millimeter by 1 millimeter by 1.5 millimeters in size. Wow, that's tiny. And in order for the camera and the optical flow sensor to work properly, the team chose a 5mm white LED source to illuminate the surface underneath it. The optical flow sensor and the LED were connected to an Arduino Uno board, which facilitates communication with the computer, which was a HP TouchMart TM2 running Windows 7, if you were wondering. And the Nanye is connected directly via USB. Now I can hear you loud and clear out there. Connected directly via USB? What? That kind of limits this, don't you think? Well, yes. And in the white paper, the team does concede that this tethering limits the ability of this new technology. But they insist they are working on getting it untethered in future versions. At the bottom of this week's page, you'll find a white paper that goes into even further geeky detail about this new Magic Finger prototype from the Universities of Toronto and Alberta. Check it out. It's good stuff, I'm telling you. All right, it's time for this week's interview. I'm chatting with Bill Neifert, CTO of Carbon Design Systems, about their recent collaboration with Samsung, what $4 million in VC funding has to do with it, and what exactly Carbon is going to do with all that cashola.
My guest today is Carbon Design Systems CTO Bill Neifert. Hi, Bill. Welcome back to Fish Fry.
Hi, Amelia. Thanks for having me back.
So, Bill, I saw just the other day that Carbon Design Systems has secured $4 million in venture capital money from the VC arm of one of the biggest dogs in the mobile space, Samsung. Tell me about your previous relationship with Samsung and how they came up with the idea of giving you guys so much moolah.
Well, Samsung has been one of our largest customers for quite some time now. Dating back to when we were just a compiler company, you know, they were using us to create models to put into their own virtual prototype solution. It really gained a lot more momentum when we acquired the virtual prototyping tool from ARM, you know, the SoC designer, and, you know, took over more and more of the virtual prototyping solution for them. So now we are providing not only the models, but also the virtual prototyping environment that they went into. So one of the things that we noticed right away is that, you know, Samsung had a very mature use of that and had a lot of methodologies and such that they'd advanced in that space, but they really wanted to make some further advances, and, you know, that was kind of what motivated the investment on this. We talked to them about some ideas that we had in this space to help, you know, really start making the cycle accurate models we were having a bigger part of the flow, and so they could take greater advantage of them. They had some ideas themselves that they thought they wanted to advance as well. So it was a joint partnership kind of activity which came forth that said, you know, we have some stuff we'd like to do, they've got some stuff they'd like to do, so we decided to embark on partnering together to do this. You know, this is not a traditional investment type of relationship. This really is a true partnership here because, you know, we're actually working together with them to make selective tool improvements and upgrades based upon what they're looking to do, and at the same point in time, you know, they're adopting us more fully as a result of this as well. So this is not just us getting a lot of moolah, as you would say, but it's also about us changing a lot of ideas and such on both sides. And
great. So a similar question along those lines is, do you think this investment from Samsung signals a trend toward funding alternatives for startups or emerging companies and away from the traditional venture capital route?
Well, I mean, companies have been making strategic investments for years. I know previous work companies that I've worked for have received strategic investments from some of their customers and such. So from that perspective, I don't see it being all that new. But, I mean, the fact that they're entering into more than just an investment relationship and they're actually forming a partnership, I think is something that, you know, is a bit newer. And I think it's kind of necessitated by the current economic climate out there, especially in the days that the internet startups and stuff like that, venture capitalists and stuff are looking for a quicker return on their investment, and in some cases, an easier return. You know, the area of electronic design automation is not an easy area. It's very complex. Being able to automate these flows that a lot of these companies are doing now is a complex process and requires a complicated set of software and a complicated understanding of the entire system as it goes through. That makes it, you know, difficult for, first off, a lot of venture capitalists to understand, and next off, for them to really picture where they're going to make their money out of this. But if you take a look on the other side, the system companies and such that are doing this, they have a great understanding of the complexity of the problems they're trying to understand. Because a lot of times they try and solve these problems themselves, they realize just how difficult it can be to do. So they recognize that they need to make these types of investments in order to put the state-of-the-art forward, not just for themselves, but for all of the industry at large, in order to advance that. So I really see this as being continuation of a trend that had been started earlier, but I also see it, as you're kind of pointing out, as kind of a necessary way for some of these systems companies to really help advance this technology and step up in an area that the VCs just aren't doing it as much as they used to.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, Bill, what does Samsung get out of this investment? And more importantly, what are you guys going to do with all the money?
They get to, you know, help work with us and establish some of the technical direction of some of the stuff we're doing. We're doing some targeted developments right now for Samsung to basically help accelerate some of their, you know, development processes. This doesn't mean we're doing a one-off type of thing just for Samsung, however. The vast majority of the stuff we're developing here, we're rolling into our larger product and will eventually be rolling out to our customer base at large. So, you know, Samsung gets early access on that. Samsung gets to help direct that. But they're not getting exclusive access. And that was an important thing for us out of this, because we didn't want to just become the development arm for Samsung. We wanted to be able to take something that was going to be able to help all of our customers so we could monetize it, so, you know, add value to us all together. So, you know, as you look at what we're doing with all of the money here, we're taking it and we are funding several strategic development initiatives targeted a lot around to what Samsung wants, but also working at raising and maintaining the quality of the overall product as well, because Samsung is gaining leverage from the expertise that we've gained by working with all the rest of the customers and stuff.
Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me today, Bill.
Thank you very much, Amelia. I appreciate the opportunity.
And now it's time for a little nerdy giveaway, my friends. Now this week, I've got a Spartan 6 LX9 microboard, courtesy of Xilinx, to throw your way. Now let me fill you in on the details of this super cool kit. This kit comes with several pre-built MicroBlaze systems, allowing you to start software development just like any standard off-the-shelf microprocessor. It includes a software development kit, or SDK, providing a familiar Eclipse-based environment for writing and debugging code. It also includes peripherals and expansion interfaces to make the kit ideal for a wide variety of applications. From a system running an RTOS to a Linux-based web server, the Spartan 6 LX9 microboard can help you validate your next design idea. So, if you want one of these kits for your very own, just post a comment on this week's Fish Fry page, and by the end of the week, I'll pick one of the people who have posted, and bam, send them the kit in the mail. Easy as that. So get posting, folks. Well, that's all there is for Fish Fry. Remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, including a video and white paper about this new magic finger technology, more information about Carbon Design Systems' joint venture with Samsung, and even a photo of yours truly posing with our nerdy giveaway this week, head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference that I absolutely should attend, or the best geeky hotspot in your hometown, shoot me a line at amelia@techfocusmedia.com or post a comment on our forums on eejournal.com. For the week of October 19th, 2012, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.